good to y'all. Say amen. Amen. I'm going to ask again because he deserves a double amen. If Jesus has been good to y'all, say amen. Amen. I'm thankful for Jesus today. Hope you have your Bibles. I'm going to have you flip the two passages if you don't mind. Matthew chapter number 19 is the first passage. Matthew chapter 19. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you want to put your thumb there. We're going to read a little bit from both passages today. So our first passage is Matthew chapter 19. And then the second passage will be 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Y'all don't mind today, since we're a little off over there. Can y'all help me preach? No, okay. Can y'all help me preach today? Anybody? You know how you help me preach? Say amen. Amen. All right. If you say something good, I'll say amen. All right. Well, today I want to talk to you about this topic. Hopefully it won't be long. The importance of VBS. The importance of VBS, Matthew chapter 19. Find your place in verse number 13, where we're going to begin reading this morning. Matthew 19, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Then were there brought unto him," which is Jesus, "little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven." And this is awesome. "And he laid his hands on them." That's some powerful hands, church. "And he laid his hands on the children, and he departed from there." Now, if you don't mind, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read that right after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this inspired word. Lord, we pray today that the Holy Spirit may take this word and illuminate our hearts, illuminate our minds. Lord, make it real to us today. May you convict us, may you comfort us, may you exhort us today. Father, help me to preach your word today only with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, next week in our church, we're going to be doing something that nearly every church in our area does every summer. It's something that we call Vacation Bible School. You know, for most churches, it's just a week on the calendar every summer. It comes, and by the end of the week, it's gone. And we don't think about it until the week before next year. But I'm here to tell you this week, church, that I'm a firm believer. And one of the most important things that we do all year is Vacation Bible School. And today I'm going to tell you why it's so important. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 13. I want us to pick up reading there. And this is going to be really our text for the morning. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child," there's that word again, a child, "thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture, say that with me, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's where we'll stop this morning. The Apostle Paul, of course, in the book of the letter of 2 Timothy, he is sitting in his final prison cell awaiting sentencing. The Apostle Paul has a feeling, he has a knowledge that his life is going to come to an end very soon. So what Paul does based on that is he sits down with his pen, with his paper, and he begins to pen this final letter to his young protege that is named Timothy. Timothy would be the one to carry out the truth of God's Word to the nations. Timothy, therefore, is going to have a very important role with the Apostle Paul's biblical letters. And here is Timothy's very important role, and I want you to listen. Timothy can either stand on the truth Paul is dying for, or he can let the truth compromise where the truth fades away into the wind. Timothy has a very important role. I'm going to say it again. Stand on the truth Paul is dying for, or let the truth be compromised into error, and therefore no one will know the truth anymore. Timothy's role, therefore, is very important. So what Timothy wants to do is, what Paul wants to do is, he wants to give Timothy some very important information and very important wisdom that he is going to need as he moves forward. I want you to listen to this. One of the most important things that Paul warns Timothy about is the false teachings that will arise in his generation and the generations after that. And what these false teachings, he says, are going to do is they're going to threaten the truth of the Word of God. I want you to notice, if you still have your Bible open, in 2 Timothy. In chapter number 2, verse number 16, Paul gives Timothy this warning. In chapter 2, verse 16, just a page back, he says, Timothy, shun profane and vain babblings or talkings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word, again, will eat as doth a canker or a cancer or gangrene, is what he's saying. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, and watch verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred. So Paul said, I need to warn you, Timothy, that there's people going to be out there and their word is going to spread just like a cancer spreads, but their word contradicts the Word of God. Their word, verse 18, they have fallen away from the truth and they begin to speak these deceptive lies. Again, we've been in chapter 3 and we've heard this verse all of our lives. In chapter 3, verse 1, he warns Timothy again. He says, this know also, Timothy, that in the last days perilous times shall come. It's going to get dangerous in the last days. It's going to get perilous in those last days. And I'm a firm believer that you and I are living in these last days. And he says in verse number 5, the dangerous thing about it is there's going to be those that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They're going to teach religion. They're really not going to teach Jesus. So he's saying you need to turn away from those things. Look at verse 8 of chapter 3. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the what? The truth. So you got the truth here all throughout chapter 1, 2, and 3. He says, these over here have erred from the truth. These resist the truth. Instead of receiving the truth, they turn away from the truth and they're trying to corrupt the truth. So what Paul is telling Timothy, he says, Timothy, there's something that you've got to watch out for. One of the constant dangers around is there's going to be false teaching that threaten the truth of the Word of God. Chapter 3, verse 13, we read it. Paul says, Timothy, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So Paul's telling Timothy, listen, as you get older, it's not going to get better. He says, as your grandchildren come on the scene, it's going to get worse and worse. And we're 2,000 years from now, so Paul would say the same thing. It's gotten worse and worse and worse. And church number one, that is why VBS children are so important. Number one, the deception of our day. And I'm going to need some help on this point. Say amen. The deception of our day. How many of you know this? We are living in a world that has erred from the truth. We're living in a world that has erred from the truth. They have corrupted the truth. And Lord forbid you stand upon the truth, you'll be made into a demon in this world. You can stand on any religion you want to, stand on any corporation you want to, but the moment you stand for Christianity, for the church, for the Son of God, they're going to make you into the worst person that lives in this world. They have erred from the truth, and what they're trying to do is corrupt the truth. And I want to tell you something this morning. There are a few things that have erred concerning the truth, and number one, it's sin. We have erred from the truth of sin. Our children are being taught by books, by TV shows, by commercials, by social media, by everything on their phone that gay marriage is normal. Don't get quiet. We're being taught that a man marrying a man is normal. You're being taught that a woman marrying a woman is normal. And my friends, unless you accept it as right, you will pay the consequences. But according to the truth of God's Word, Romans chapter 1 says it's actually natural for a man to marry a woman. It's natural for a woman to marry a man. But the Bible says they went against nature over here. So the Bible actually says it's not normal, it's not natural, it's unnatural. They have erred concerning the truth of sin. Your children are now being taught to use impersonal pronouns. Him, her, she, he. Can you imagine now in the hospital a baby being born, the doctor grabs the baby and says, "Mom, here's your baby, wait 5 years and let them tell you if they want to be a boy or girl. I can't say anymore. Mama, here's your baby girl. Mama, here's your baby boy." Because they say, "Well, we got to wait until they figure out what they want to be." And isn't it sad that we even have to talk about this? Can I tell you, they have erred concerning the truth. The Word of God says in Matthew chapter number 19, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "In the beginning, God made them male and female." They have erred concerning the truth of sin. Your children are also being taught in schools that the way the stars got in the sky, the way the moon got there, the way the sun got there, the way the world got here is some big cosmic boom happened and all of this stuff just fell into place. Once again, that contradicts the truth of the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Your children will be taught when they go to college in your science class that you and I came from monkeys. You and I came from an animal, and what they're trying to do is say, we don't have to have God. That's all evolution is. It's trying to explain God away, that you don't need God to have life. You don't need God to explain everything that happens in this world. So you and I came from nothing more than just an animal. And can I tell you, that's why the abortion clinics are packed every single week. Because if you and I came from monkeys, we're nothing more than an animal. We're nothing more than just a piece of furniture. We're not made in the image of God. We're not special. We're not important. Therefore, what's the point of letting this person live? Can I tell you, they have erred concerning the truth of the Word of God, that God made Adam and Eve in His own image, and therefore we all came from them, and we're also in His image, and therefore that means life is precious. It's a sick world we're living in. And I'm not trying to beat anybody down this morning, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the problem is, they say it's not wrong. That's the problem. We all sin. But the problem is, when we start saying sin is right and what's right is wrong, that's a big problem. And that's the problem with our world. They have erred concerning the truth of sin. And what the devil's job is to get you, your children, and your grandchildren sucked into the lies of this generation. To where you look at these things that I just mentioned and say, you know, what's wrong with it? It's not that you're going to go out and partake of it. What the devil wants you to do is say, well, I may not do it, but there's really nothing wrong with it. And you see, what you just did was compromise the Word of God. and you compromise, and 1.5 years later you're going to compromise the whole thing. How many of you know when the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong? When the Bible says it's right, it's right. Just because this book is 2,000 years old hadn't changed. Because this is a book that is alive. We've erred concerning the truth in our world concerning sin, but most importantly, they've erred concerning the truth of salvation. The truth about Jesus has been erred from. The truth about Jesus and His salvation that He provides for us has been corrupted. You say, how? By certain people saying that Jesus is not the only way to God. And the compromise is, listen, He can be your way, but He don't have to be my way. Jesus is one way, but He does not have to be that person's way to God. He can be your way, but for somebody at your school, they can get to God some other way. For somebody that you live around, you may know Jesus, you may get to God by Jesus, but there's another way that they may can get there. There's plenty of religions in this world. There's plenty of good works you can do in this world in order to get to God. But I'm here to tell you that also contradicts the truth of the Word of God. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. And it doesn't matter how many years, days, months, or generations pass. That truth will always stand. That if we want to get to heaven, that if we want to have a relationship with God, the only way is through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, I'm the door, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. He's all of those things. The, not a. He is the way, not one of many ways. There's a great deception going on in our day against sin and against salvation. Church, this morning, that is why, not just VBS, but any children's ministry is so important. Because every single day, your children, my children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, whether they're 4 years old, 14 years old, or 40 years old, they're being fed lies every single day. Lies. And that's the devil's job, to speak lies. But it is our job to stand against those lies and know the truth. And to teach it to our children. So that, number one, is the importance of VBS. Is because the deception of our day. And somebody is going to have to stand in the gap and teach them the truth. Number one, the deception of our day. Number two, and I'm done, the power of the Word is why VBS is so important. Vacation Bible School is so important, not only because the deception that they're being taught, but I'm telling you, there's power in this book today. There is power in the Word of God. Look at verse 14. Verse 13, he said, evil men will wax worse and worse. They'll deceive and be deceived. Verse 14 starts out with the word but. And I like it. He says, but Timothy, continue in the things that you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 14, Paul is telling Timothy, listen, they may err from the truth. They may turn to a lie. The whole world may turn into an error. But verse 14, he says, Timothy, but you, Timothy, but you continue in the things that you have learned. What has Timothy learned? Verse 15 tells you. And that from a child, or from your childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. That's what Timothy's learned. Paul tells Timothy, you need to continue in the things that you have learned. And what you have learned, Timothy, since you were just a small child, is this Holy Word of God. Can I tell you why VBS is so important? Because kids, teenagers, need to know the truth of God. They need to know the truth of His Son, Jesus Christ. They need to know the truth that the only way to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. They need the truth. And the truth is this book. Notice verse 15 again. Look back with me. He says from a child. Some say from childhood. Same thing there. Thou hast known the whole... That word known is so important, guys. Listen. He didn't say from your childhood, Timothy, you heard the Scripture in church. From a childhood, Timothy, you heard the Holy Scripture in church. No, no, no. He said, Timothy, from your childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. That's a... Listen, y'all know this. Wives, y'all can say amen to this. There's a big difference in knowing and hearing. Listen. Hearing for us men. It means this. We hear what you said. We heard it. But 5 seconds later, we have no idea what you said. Wives, anybody? Y'all can say amen. There's a big difference in hearing and knowing. Hearing means, yeah, you may hear it, but you really don't recall it. Monica comes up to me an hour later and says, I thought I told you to put up the dishes. I said, I don't recall that. Hearing means, yeah, you hear it, but you don't really remember it. You know what knowing means? Knowing means you hear it, learn it, and can remember it. See, there's a difference between hearing and knowing. And listen, our children and grandchildren need more than to hear the Bible once a week. I said our children need more than to hear the Bible once a week. You know what they need? To know the Bible. They need to know it. Because hearing it, yeah, you may hear it, but like we just said, it's gone. Our children need to know, they need to learn, they need to remember the truth of God's Word. You say, where does that happen? Home. It happens at home. You know this. It is the job of every Christian parent, if you have a child or a grandchild living under your roof, to make sure that our children not only attend church, not only attend VBS, but make sure at home you teach them this Holy Scripture. You teach them the Bible. Church, listen, more important than your child knowing who Mickey Mouse is. More important than your child knowing how to cook a meal. More important than your child knowing how to drop back and throw a ball. More important than your child knowing how to build something is that they know the truth of Jesus Christ and that He's the only way to eternal life. All those other truths are okay. I learned how to throw a ball. I learned the TV stars. I learned all of this stuff. But none of that's going to take me to heaven. There's only one truth that can take your child to heaven, and it's the truth of Jesus Christ. That's it. So therefore, it is the most important truth that must be taught in the home. And if they hadn't cut us off yet, listen, my mom and my daddy weren't perfect. My grandparents weren't perfect, though growing up I thought they were. But the one thing they did was they taught me how to know the Bible. They took me to church to hear it. But 10 minutes before I got into bed and went to sleep, my mama would come in my room every night. And she'd quote verses with me. She'd make me memorize the books of the Bible. It took 10 minutes. And you know what happened because of that? One day when I was 12 years old, the Holy Spirit took that word that was already planted and brought forth the fruit of salvation in my heart. That's what happened. And that's exactly what verse 15 says. Timothy, from your childhood you knew the Scripture. Look at this. Which are able, the Bible, the Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's why this book is so important. You say, how can a book written on a piece of paper, typed out, hidden between two pieces of leather, take you to heaven, bring forth the knowledge of salvation? Well, I'm glad you asked this morning. Because this book, let me say it in my language, ain't just a book. I said this book ain't just a book. It's not just a story. It's the Word of God. Amen. Verse 16 says this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. A lot of you know this. That word inspiration means God breathed. So all Scripture is God-breathed. Yes, He inspired these men to write it, but God breathed into them to write His very Word. It's a powerful Word. Notice it says all Scripture. Not just the New Testament. Not just portions in John chapter 3. But every single bit of Scripture is God-breathed and given by inspiration of God. You say, why is that important? How, what difference does that make? Here's what it makes. When you and I are born into this world, you know we're alive, right? Our hearts are beating. Your heart is, at least some of you, I think, is still beating. But how many of you know the Bible says spiritually we're dead, right? Our physical heart is beating, but our spiritual heart has no life. And I hate to bring this up, but when someone's gone, when someone's clocked out, the EMS shows up and the first thing they do, right? Compressions. And then what do? They breathe air into them. Because when you're dead, it means you don't have any breath. You don't have any life. So therefore, what they're trying to do to bring life into them is put air into them. Put breath into them. The Bible says that the Bible is the breath of God. So when you teach your child the Bible, do you know what you're doing to their spiritually dead heart and soul? You are putting the very breath of God into them. You're breathing into them. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Every time you teach your child to know the Holy Scripture, you're literally breathing into their spiritually dead soul. And I'm telling you, what's going to happen is one day the Holy Spirit will take that seed, will take the Word, and He will bring forth eternal life into their heart. And that's why it's so important, church, to plant the seed of the Word of God in your kids and in your grandkids, so that one day God can pass by and bring life out of it. You know, if I were to ask you today, what's the most precious thing in this world? Jesus actually answered it for us. I think it's in Matthew 16. He said, what price can you put on a soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If he gain the whole world and yet lose his soul, what does it profit? Who can put a price on a soul, Jesus asked. What's the price? There is no price. It's the most precious thing in this world. Church, y'all know this. When the Lord blesses you with a child, He just blessed you with a soul. And that soul is going to live forever in one of two places, heaven or hell. Do you realize what God did when He gave you a child or even a grandchild that might be living under your roof? He gave you a soul that's going to live forever. He entrusts you with it. And it's our job to teach them the Holy Bible. Listen, you can't control whether they get saved or not. It's going to be hard for me to understand. We can't control whether they trust Christ as their Savior or not. Can't control what decisions they make once they leave. What you can control is whether you teach them right and wrong. It's whether you teach them the Bible. Whether you teach them God loves them and that Jesus died to save them and that the greatest life to ever live on this earth is the life that's lived for Christ. And after that, you plant the seed. That's it. God does the rest. God gives the increase, the Bible says. But you see, that's why it's so important for Vacation Bible School. Not just that, children's ministry. Not just that, your children at home. Your grandchildren, when they come over on the weekend. The most important truth you can teach a child or a grandchild is the truth, who is Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so important, guys, that we have VBS here. because there's kids coming in. We don't know from what backgrounds, from what homes. What we get to do four nights in a row is tell them how much Jesus loves them. And all we're doing is sowing, throwing some seeds out. And if one of them just lands, just right, God will bring forth the increase. One day, just because you planted a seed, that kid might come to the altar and trust Jesus as his Savior. It's so important, guys. We're living in a day of evil. We're living in a day where the devil is literally walking around your house saying, if I can get you, I can get the little ones. We got to stand up for the truth of the Word of God. Not only stand, we got to spread. We got to spread it. Because there's kids all around here. And the greatest truth I've ever learned my entire life, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that He was willing to die on the cross so that I could have a relationship with Him. I'm done. Let's stand. If there's a child, a grandchild right now that's on your mind, would you pray for him? There's a young person on your mind that you would love to see in church. Most of all, that you would love to see come to Christ. Would you pray for him right now? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning. God, we want to thank You for the truth of Your Word. And Father, we're just asking today that You would bless our Vacation Bible School that doesn't start this week, but it starts next week. Lord, You know the children that will be coming in, no matter how many they are, Lord. You've given us the responsibility, the task, to teach them the truth about Jesus. And yeah, we'll have games, we'll have activities and all this stuff. The most important truth is to share the love of Christ with them. So Lord, I pray that You'd help us to do that in this next week. But Lord, right now we have children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews in our lives that need Christ. And Lord, right now the only thing we can do is pray. And by chance, if You give us the opportunity, share and spread the Word of God. Teach them the truth that Jesus loves them and died for them. So Lord, I pray that You just give us that burden that we need again to be the evangelist You want us to be the missionary You want us to be in our homes, in our neighborhood, at our job, and share the love of Christ with those we come into contact with. Lord, thank You for that one who shared the love of Christ with me one day. May we be that one for somebody. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.